the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So far the word of the Lord. Let me pray. Lord, to whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. Dearly beloved, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ and waiting for his glorious return, Zechariah beams, bursting with pride. He's an old guy and his wife is an old gal, but she's just had their first child. And it's the day of his circumcision, that act by which God signs and seals the covenant that he made with the father of his people, Abraham. It's natural, I suppose, that Zechariah should be so filled with pride. All his friends and family are gathered there, but it is not pride in his son which has brought forth this song. He's not beaming because Aunt Josephine said, "Oh, he's so cute," or because he has his father's eyes, or because he can kick his legs so well. It's because of what this child portends, because of what God promised the one after him would do. You know, they say, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. And Zechariah learned that lesson quite literally. He hasn't said a word in some 9 months, not since that incident in the temple. While he was offering up the prayer and sacrifice of the people of God, Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, came and stood in the presence of Zechariah. What an awesome thing. Have you ever had that feeling of awe when someone you know, you find out, knows someone famous? This is that to the extreme. Gabriel stands and sees the very living God, and he has come into the presence of Zechariah. Yet, although Zechariah is afraid, he's not properly awed by this, because he does not believe the message that Gabriel brings him from the Lord. He says, it can't be. How can this be? I'm old. My wife's old. We've never had children. All Zechariah can find to say is can't to the messenger of the God who always can. And yet this is not to say that Zechariah is an unbeliever. Far from it. But he's had a lapse. He's had a moment of weakness where in his sinful pride he has exalted himself above God and put himself in the position of determining whether what God says can be what God means. And so his mouth is shut, so that he might learn by silence the proper awe for God's word and the proper use of his own. And that is to brag in God. And then, on the day of the circumcision of his son, when God finally cranks open that mouth and the Holy Spirit fills him, what a song Zechariah sings. He starts, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." You know that pride, that feeling of kind of amazement and joy you feel if you find out that somebody from your country or your state or your city or maybe even your class has done something amazing, you know, state champ or even more, maybe an Olympian or a war hero or something. It's national pride or state pride. There's a deep sense of nationalism in Zechariah's song. Look at the way he talks. Verse 69, he says, for his people, God has done for his people. Verse 69, the house of David. Verse 72, the mercy promised to our fathers. Verse 73, the oath he swore to Abraham, our father. Yet this is not the nasty nationalism of a Nazi. It's not, we're better than you because of our genetics or the color of our skin. Zechariah clearly understands that the children of Abraham are those who believe, as as Abraham believed. In verse 79 of our text, he says, to give light to those who sit in darkness. And he is quoting from Isaiah 9, which we read earlier, where it reads, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. See, Zechariah is proud of what God, the God of his people, has promised and performed for Jew and Gentile alike. He's proud to be a part of the people from whom the Savior will come, to be the Savior of the nations. And he should be. He's proud of his country's history, not because of the great deeds performed by his fathers, but because of the great deeds performed for them by God. You know, Zechariah's song is just filled with Old Testament language. There's hardly a line in it. In fact, I don't think there is a line in it which isn't directly taken from some Old Testament passage. It covers the length and height and width and breadth of the wonderful works of God. And verse 68 exemplifies that. He says, he has visited and redeemed his people. Those are Exodus words drawn right out of the narrative, where God comes down and he sees the suffering of his people and he visits them in their distress and he redeems them. That is, he buys them back. And the price that he pays is blood, the blood of those lambs and the blood of the firstborn sons of Egypt. And he takes them out to make them his own people. And now far greater, Zechariah is saying he has visited and redeemed us in a better way. And as Hebrews 9 tells us, it is through the blood of his son, which redeems us, which buys us back. He continues in verse 69. He has raised up a